John 16:1 says, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. Okay, I should probably point out, John's such a unique, you know, especially this John 14:15, 16:17. I mean, it's just here. You know, all the other gospels seem to overlap quite a bit, but these passages are just in John. And so it's pretty unique, you know, it's the only place we get that. John wrote this like 50 years later, so you know the Holy Spirit, you know, I don't know how old John would have been at the time, you know, but the Holy Spirit just was bringing these things fresh to his mind again when he's writing this, just remembering this really, really intense moment and being able to know exactly what Jesus said and to write this down is pretty amazing. And all this is happening the night before Jesus died, okay? So just to give you the timeline again of when it is, this is like his last things he wants to say, and he's just pouring out on him all this stuff. So 16 says, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me, but I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. And then jump down to verse 12, just for time's sake. But he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Okay, let's stop there. I just want to make sure we really get the glory of what he's talking about. And I'm going to read this backwards. But let's just start out with just this. Let me tell you a story first. I want to get your minds thinking. I want to... I'm not going to ask for your answers, but I'm just going to let you think about this, and I'll come back to it towards the end of this lesson. But when I was young in the Lord, I got started late in life. I was probably 18 or so. I've been going to church for a year or two, and I was in a church service. And this service, it was a new started church. It was a bunch of really, really young people in the Lord, and people who had come out of all kinds of stuff. And it was a cool group, really cool group. But there's a lot of immaturity. And I remember one night there was a prayer meeting, and someone had some issue, and we were all kind of gathered around him at the front of the church, laying hands on him and praying for him, and this person prayed for patience. Okay, they right in the middle of the group, and they just got saved, and they started praying for patience, and it's kind of a weird deal, and it was weird for me to watch as a young Christian, but one of the women in the church who'd been a Christian for quite a while, she really, really intensely, I don't know how to really paint this picture without dogging her, but she just really intensely stopped him, you know, kind of got onto him, said, quit praying that, you know, don't pray for patience, which maybe some of us has heard that thing, don't pray for patience because God will put you through whatever to make you more patient. And, but really, it was really intense, just snapped at this new Christian and said, you know, don't pray for that, and kind of pointing his finger, don't ever pray for that. And we're all in this prayer meeting, you know, it's a church prayer meeting, and we're just like, whoa, this is... So I as a young Christian, didn't know what to think about that. I've thought about it a lot over the years, you know, because there was kind of, it turned into this deal, who's right, you know, and he wants to be more patient, and she says, you don't want to do that because you don't want to go through hard times, and anyway, think about that. I'm going to put that in your mind. I'm going to come back to it. But we get to this story here, and this is just all about the Holy Spirit. Jesus is leaving him with this lesson about what the Holy Spirit's going to do. I'm not sure how much understanding they have about the Holy Spirit, you know, maybe some, but definitely not a lot. And so Jesus is saying, this is what the Holy Spirit's going to do. And starting in verse 15, if we go backwards, he says, all that the Father has is mine, okay? So let's just think about that to keep it in the right context. What does the Father have? Okay, we got to start there to really understand the glory of what he's saying. Is there anything that doesn't belong to God? And the answer is no, okay? So they understand this. Everything belongs to God. And then Jesus says this awesome statement, all that the Father has is mine. And I wish I could just draw it up. I should have came up with some kind of slide. But just picture it like that. Everything belongs to God. God gives everything to Jesus. Everything now belongs to Jesus. Okay. Let's take a verse up, verse 14. And it says that he, which is the Holy Spirit will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Okay? This is the ultimate work of the Holy Spirit, is that he's going to take everything that belongs to God, all that stuff belongs to Jesus. The work of the Holy Spirit is to take everything in this package that belongs to Jesus and declare it, okay? Declare it to us. That's what the Holy Spirit is mainly speaking about Jesus and what all Jesus has. And he's declaring it to us. Take another verse backwards. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. And just keep it in mind in this whole deal that the Holy Spirit is God, okay? The Holy Spirit kind of gets pushed into all kinds of different category for some reason. It gets pushed into, I've just heard so many crazy things. I've heard people describe him as like an energy and just like a power source, and he's God. You know, he's God, and seems like he gets blamed for all kinds of wild things that happen in the church, and like he's some out of control thing, and God's kind of trying to keep him reined. That's just kind of, you can get different perspectives of the Holy Spirit, but the main thing is that he is God. So who wrote the Old Testament? It was the Holy Spirit. Okay, who wrote the New Testament? It was the Holy Spirit. Who's giving revelation about Jesus? All revelation about Jesus is coming from the Holy Spirit. Okay, he's the one giving it. Okay, and so let's go back one more verse. Verse 12, he says, we're in John 16 if you came in late, but verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. This is really important. Why? Just think through this. Why? What? You know, we have such high thoughts about what we're capable of understanding. And Jesus comes in and blows that away when he just says, look, I want to tell you more, but you can't handle it. You can't bear to hear anymore. And it just shows how limited the flesh is. It's one of the main lessons we all have to learn is how limited our flesh is. We have all these worldly thoughts like, I can do anything I set my mind to. How often have we heard that? That's not true. I can do anything I set my mind to. Actually, the Bible says I can do all things who through him who strengthens me, through Christ who strengthens me. That's what the Bible says. It isn't anything I set my mind to. Okay, it's I can do all things through him. But I got to understand how limited my flesh is. I have to understand that I can't understand God apart from the Holy Spirit. Jesus can't tell them any more that they could ever understand until he dies and the Holy Spirit comes and people get the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit begins to teach them from the inside. That's the only way, okay? So be very aware of how limited your flesh is, how limited my mind is, how easily it shifts away from Jesus, how easily distracted it is, how limited my heart is, how limited my actions are, and my ability to do things, and my ability to obey God. I'm so limited. And I just think he proved it so much when he's just sitting there saying, look, this is the last night I have with you. I can't even tell you any more things. Your mind can't handle it. And so, and really, really, I think what he's even more getting at, he's getting at this thing where in verse 2, remember, it said, look, there's going to be a time when they put you out of the synagogues, and whoever kills you, they're going to think they're doing it for the glory of God, okay? So what he's saying when he says it is, look, you're going to die. You're going to die. They're going to kill you, and that's it. I can't tell you anymore else about it because you can't handle it. You might start asking questions. They might want to know why and how to, maybe they're thinking like, if I know how they're going to kill me, I'll know how to persevere in that time and I'll know how to make it through. But Jesus is just like, I can't tell you. That's not the point of this. Okay, so if, Jesus could have said, and maybe he hints at it, but he could have said something like, if he was speaking to Ryan and he's like, Ryan, you're going to die. I need you to be bold and persevere and not fall away and stay true to my name. He could say that, but there's a huge difference right now of him giving some command to persevere and to be bold. That's way different than actually giving him a Holy Spirit who is bold, okay? There's way different from giving someone a command and giving someone a power to obey the command, okay? That's what he's getting at. I could, he's like, I could tell you to be bold all I want. It's just not going to do any good because you're limited. Wait until I give you the Holy Spirit, and then I'll give you boldness. Not just a command to be bold, I'll give you boldness. That's what the Holy Spirit is. Holy Spirit is, it is all these things, because that's what he's doing. All these things belong to Christ. Christ is the bold one. Christ is the one who perseveres, and the Holy Spirit's work is to show what we have in Christ who is in us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So I've got to get out of this mindset where I it's more than just obeying commands. It's more than just hearing what I need to do. It's understanding that it's something inside me that does these things, and Christ gave me the power. So, and it's the same with so many things. I mean, we have a whole list of fruits of the Spirit that I think we've probably all memorized or all heard 100 times, you know, love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, etc. But do we really get that those are fruits of the Spirit? Those aren't just things that I'm supposed to walk in, you know, in my flesh. It isn't like God saying, Ryan, be more loving. Ryan, have more joy. Ryan, what he's saying is, look, I'm producing something in you. And you want to know the difference between someone who has the Holy Spirit and not? I think we always wonder about that because we never really, you know, paid attention before we were Christians. And it's, well, just look at what the disciples did. What they do after Jesus died, do you remember what they did before they were filled with the Holy Spirit in that little in-between time? Huh? Before that, what'd they do? That's one of them, exactly. Yeah, they're scattering, they're hiding in a room. Some of them went back to fishing, okay? This is what they did without the Holy Spirit, the power to work in them, God in them. This is, you know, if they just had a list of commands and no Holy Spirit, they went back to their old lives. They're doing things with no power to do it. You know, they might have the desire, they might want to live for God, but they're not actually doing it. That's the difference between someone who doesn't have the Holy Spirit and who does. And so I'm giving you guys all this to think through what God's actually doing in your life right now. So go back to my story from the beginning. I know some of you guys came in late, but we have this story. We have where one person or two people are arguing, and one saying, "Don't ever pray for patience because God's going to put you through major trials to make you patient." And one's just asking God, "Just God, make me more of a patient person." Okay, so me looking at this and comparing it to the Bible, you know, and see what you guys think, but. But what I think is, I think which one's right in that argument? I think both are wrong, okay? Because one is saying, "God, make me more of a patient person." What they're wanting when they pray like that is for my flesh to become more patient. They're treating patience like something God's going to give them on from the outside. You know, God, make me more patient, okay? Turn my flesh into a patient flesh. And the other person, you know, who is saying, "Don't ever pray for patience because God's going to put you through trial," they're treating it the same way. They're treating patience as something, okay, God's only way to make this person patient is to wear out their flesh until they learn to, you know, it's both sides are about making the flesh patient. And really, what is patient? It's a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. And so, if patience is a fruit of the Spirit, really, what it is, how God ultimately, maybe he will put you through trials, you know, and maybe it is okay to ask for patience, I mean, but ultimately, what's he going to do? It's going to be the Holy Spirit in you, that as you learn to walk in the Spirit, patience comes out of you. God never, ever, ever made your flesh more patient, okay? Right? He never improved your flesh. He lived through you. So maybe he put you through trials, but the reason to get you through in a trial is so that you rely on the Holy Spirit more. It's not so your flesh will become more patient, okay? So the Holy Spirit in me, who is patience, who is God, who is ultimate patience, he lives through me, and out of my actions comes this thing called patience. But it's never given apart from Jesus. And now some of you guys are going to listen to this lesson, and I already, you know, and you're going to think, you know, Levi, why does that matter? Why does it matter how he says it or how he thinks about it? If he becomes patient, that's the main thing. And I just make this little argument that's not true. Because God doesn't just care about what you're doing. He cares about how you do it. Okay? That's really true, okay? I'm not saying God ever endorses sin, but he, you know, he's more about you just not sinning. He's about how you're overcoming sin. And the reason is, if you didn't catch it in our little verses here, 14 says, he will glorify me, the Holy Spirit will glorify me by taking what is mine and declaring it to you. Okay? So, the end of why he's doing all this is that Jesus would be glorified. The Holy Spirit is primarily doing these things, but why is he doing it? He's doing it so Jesus would be glorified. He cares more about Jesus getting glorified and how I'm overcoming sin. So it's one thing for Ryan to overcome sin, you know, but the flesh only lasts so long. For him to be tempted today and go home and say no to sin, that's great. But truly overcoming sin by Jesus and the Holy Spirit who's in him and submitting to that and submitting to walking in the Spirit and having fruit of self-control flowing out of him, that glorifies Jesus, okay? There's a way to overcome sin that glorifies your flesh, okay? Just grudging through it and saying no, and eventually you're going to give anyway, you know? But overcoming by the Spirit, by Jesus in me, that glorifies the Son of God, and that's the main thing God cares about. He's made a whole world that's completely based on Jesus takes care of all the work. He dies on the cross. His work is done. The Holy Spirit makes his work known to us, and we glorify him by getting in line with that. He's made everything about that. So my point in this lesson is that he cares how you're doing things. He cares that it's done through Jesus and not through yourself. You know, Ephesians 1:3, it says something like, blessed is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Something like that. So, okay, when I get saved, is there any possible way I can know what that means? Okay, he has blessed me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I have no idea what that means. Okay, no idea. Okay, but the work of the Holy Spirit, it just tells you. It says, Sean, you already have all these things. You already have every spiritual blessing. Already has it. He doesn't know what it means, okay? But the Holy Spirit, one thing at a time, shows him, this is what you have in Christ. Sean, you have patience in Christ. Sean, you have overcoming ability in Christ. Sean, you have self-control in Christ. And one thing at a time, the Holy Spirit's unpacking who Jesus is in you. And that's the process we're all in. And it's all something that was given to us by grace. It's all something that's already been given to us. You know, we'll finish up. This is just so practical about caring how you're doing. Just think through. If you're struggling with something, I was struggling with something this week. Just continually struggling with this thought. And I'm talking to my wife about it, and I finally just realized, you know. I was like, Katie, I finally get it. I'm trying to do this for God. My heart's really right. But I keep telling God, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do this for you. You know? And I don't know how we get into these things. It just dawns on you. You're like, man, I've been telling God that so much. I'm going to do this for you. It's him that's going to do it in me. Why do I keep thinking that I'm going to do something for God that's going to make him happy with me and he's going to bless me and give me, you know? Man, it's going to be him doing something through me that I can say, God, my flesh is limited. I can't do it. Man, every time, how much is God glorified? Just think about it. Who's glorifying God more? The guy who's saying, God, I did this for you and did this for you and did this for you? Or the guy who's falling on his knees and saying, God, I can't. I can't, and I need you, and I need the Holy Spirit, and I don't have anywhere else to go. And I just need the work of Jesus in my life. And maybe even still struggles, but really says, I need you. Who's glorifying Jesus Christ on the cross more? It's the humble, weak sinner. Okay? So, Sean, yeah, make a comment.
James says, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. says when you encounter. So yeah. I think everybody's going to encounter trials. And I've heard that don't pray for patience a long time ago. And so I always thank God for patience.
Yeah.
But through all that, I know He develops my patience as I go through the trials. But I've often prayed for boldness and strength.
Yep.
And after you said that, I got to thinking about that. If I pray for strength, it's probably going to be, I'm going to see my weakness because yeah. in my weakness, He is made strong.
Oh, there you go.
And if I'm going to be bold, it's going to be in a place where I'm going to have to step out.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a low place where I'm going to have to step up.
Yep.
To yep. be bold, to allow the Lord to bless me with patience, boldness, and strength.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, amen. And that's the main point, that, you know, pray and ask and do everything you can. You know, ask God for these things. But, yeah, just understanding.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanking Him for it. Understanding that it's something that Christ is going to do through you and in you. And He's not going to make your flesh any better. I'll leave you one last thought. Yeah, I just wrote from my last thought that Jesus is not glorified by my flesh getting better and having less need of the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what I've been saying, okay? Just think about that as you leave. Jesus isn't glorified by your flesh getting better and improving, okay, and having less need of the Holy Spirit. Jesus isn't glorified in that. So exactly, rely on the Lord, be weak, let Him be strong. Let's pray for that. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You. Thank You for patience and courage and perseverance and boldness and overcoming and all the blessings we have in Christ. I pray that we'd get in line with the work of the Holy Spirit, to that Jesus would be made known in us, and all that He's done and given us will be made known one thing at a time. Lord, I pray that we'd walk in the Spirit and have fruits of the Spirit just producing abundantly in our lives. We thank You for the completed work of Christ, who's already accomplished all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.